Good morning. John, thank you for leading us in those songs. This still has a red light on, so I may have done something wrong. Can you hear me out here? Okay, good deal. We're thankful that you're here. If you're visiting with us, we're so glad that you came our way. As mentioned earlier, Curtis is gone, so I'm filling in today, and I appreciate all the prayers and all the comforting words that people have shared with me this morning. So hope that as we share something from God's Word together this morning that will help us in our walk. I want you to know that God loves you, and I encourage you to look in the mirror and see yourself the way that God sees you, because Satan has a tendency to lie to us and tell us that we're not a child of God. If you're here this morning and you were here last week, we took down the signs. I don't want you to think we still love you, okay? And students, we still love you too. So don't think that just because the signs are down that we don't love you anymore. We do. We just had those up for the first day. I want you to know that if you're here and need prayers from the church, if you'd like to meet one of our elders, their wives, there'll be a couple of them at the back room as you go out this glass door to the left in the conference room if you'd like to pray with someone today. And if you are here today and you've been studying and you've been searching and you are ready to give your life to the Lord and be buried in baptism, raised to walk a new life and to walk with the Lord, then we can help you with that also, and we'd love to do that. I want to say, Victor, thank you so much. Victor Hunt does a great job when he gets up here and reads. Sometimes we get up here and what we have in front of us and what we have behind us is different. And I just wanted to say that I appreciate these young men and I appreciate the courage, because when I was his age, well, I was shaking about the way I am now. You just can't see it. So anyway, I appreciate these young men. Let's go to God in prayer and we'll get started. God, thank you for the day. We thank you for this time together. I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive your word. I pray, Father, that you would remove me from the way, that you would speak through me, the words that you would want this congregation to hear. Father, that I would hear these words that would make a difference in the way we live our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper or your heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I am completely at your command. Half of the things you do, you might as well turn over to me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I am the servant of all great men and of all the failures as well. Those who are great, I have made great. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I am not a machine, though I work with all the precision of a machine, plus the intelligence of a man. You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? I am habit. We have a tendency as humans to get in ruts. Sometimes we just get in habits of doing things. And if you're in a habit of being here, we're thankful that you're here. But I never want us to be in a habit of just showing up. I want us to be transformed. I think that what we think in our heart does make a difference. What I thought yesterday has a lot to do with what I am today. And what I think today is going to be a big impact on what my life is going to be tomorrow. So this morning as we look, our goal is to be formed in the image of Christ. And we've heard that several times in our staff meeting. We've been studying books on this. And this is, I hope, your goal. I know it's become my goal. And I don't think I saw that for a long time in my Christian walk. I just maybe became that habit that was just going through the motions, that it was just something I did. Christianity was something I did. Coming to church was something I did. Just showing up. And so today as I look at my life, I want to be formed to be in the image of Christ. Change. Make or become different. And I believe this is what each of us are doing every day. We're either changing and becoming different to be more like Christ, to be formed in the image of Him, or we're being changed and made different to become more like the world. And I think the only way that we can tell which way we're going is to step back and look at our lives and look at the fruits that we're producing. Because a bad tree can't produce good fruits, and a good tree is not going to produce bad fruits. So I have to take a look at myself and say, what kind of change am I making in my life? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to rest and approve with God. And I'm sorry, I'm losing that back there. I thought it was bigger than that. So you guys know the rest of the verse, I hope, but I apologize. I hope you saw me straining. So anyway, you know the verse. I'm going to try to break it down. I'll do better with that. Okay, thank you. See, Victor, I'm so glad this congregation loves us. Romans chapter 12, he says that we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they offered animal sacrifices. Today, our body is a living sacrifice to be sacrificed to God. That means I've got to be available to God with my body. And he says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. That my life should not look like the world. As we talk about our bodies daily, we lay aside those things that I want, and that I put all my energies and all my resources at the disposal of God to be used in however way He would choose to use them. That I look at my life and say, am I in the world or is the world in me? Am I patterning my life after the world, what it says to do? Or am I following God and being changed like Him? And then our mindset to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And when I look at that, is what is my mindset? What is my mind focused on? What am I thinking about? What am I looking at every day? And I'm to be transformed to be show honor and to obey God. A few weeks ago, Curtis had a lesson entitled Think on These Things. And it got me thinking about what we think about. And he used Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So this morning I want us to think about us being good thinkers. I want us to think about what we think about. Because when you look at that list, everything on there is good. And when I look at that list, I think to myself, I need to count all my blessings. I need to think about the food that I get every day. That I have clean water. That we can walk right back here and push the water fountain and there's clean water. And every time I go to Haiti, I'm reminded of all these things. But that we have vehicles, our health, our family, our friends, this building that we have to sit in and be comfortable. The promises that Jesus has given me. If I think on these good things, that Jesus is always with me, that He always hears my prayers, that He's given me His Holy Spirit to travel with me on this journey while we just sang, this world is not my home. Well, I know that God is with me. And I think about the joy and the comfort and the contentment and the fulfillment that only comes through God. And if you look at our lives and look at the past, you know, Paul says, I forget about those things that are in the past and I press on to what is ahead. But sometimes we need, I think, to think about and remember those things and what God has done for us now and where we are. As I was thinking about this lesson, I was in our garage because we're redoing our bathroom still. But my wife did get it painted. It's looking great. So I'm thankful that she's painting it and not me. But I was in the garage and I found these two sponges. They were brand new sponges. And I thought about this and I thought about us thinking and thinking on the things we do and watching the things we do and hearing the things we hear. And I put that one sponge in the water, and I was going to bring it up here, and I thought, well, I'll make a mess and get water everywhere, and I'll get in trouble. But I put that sponge in the water, and I brought it out, and I squeezed it, and guess what came out? Water. And I thought about that. I was going to put another one in oil, but I decided I didn't want to ruin the sponge, so I didn't do that. But, you know, if I'd have put that sponge in oil, and I brought it over here, and I'd squeezed it, what would have came out? Oil. And so it just reminded me that what those things we put in, that's what's going to come out of us. You know, Jesus talked to the Pharisees and told them that. He says, you know, the outside looks really good, but on the inside, the cup's dirty. Everything, you're just not what you appear to be on the outside. So I think we're to be good thinkers. The average American watches about 4 hours of TV a day. Now, I know you guys aren't average, so I know you don't watch that much. But you think about 4 hours of TV a day, that adds up to a lot. And I've seen some of the TV programs, and they always aren't building up and lifting up and encouraging. I want to give you this thought, is waking up every morning and spending 15 minutes thinking about all the good things that God has blessed us with. All the good things in our lives. Now, 15 minutes doesn't sound like a lot, but at the end of 30 days, that's 7.5 hours of thinking on all the good things that God has done for us. So I think when we do those things, that makes us a better thinker. Second thing is, this morning I want us to look at to be a thought catcher. I want you to take every thought captive. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, he says that we are to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. That means that I can't just let everything come into my mind. It means that I have to catch these thoughts. I have to guard my heart and only let those things in that are going to produce good results. In other words, when they come in, it's almost like a gate or a door. It's okay, hang on just a second. I need to check your ID. What kind of thought are you? What are you going to try to get me to do? And if this is not a good thing, then I need to capture it and do something like turn it away, send it back. Don't allow those things that would tear down. Don't allow those thoughts that would destroy. Don't allow those things that would hurt other people to come in, damage my walk, cause pain to see in myself and to others. We can't just have an open gate and say, okay, we just let anything in. That's why we have to watch what we're watching and be careful what we hear. It's almost like the little song, be careful what we see, careful what we hear, little ears. And we have to catch those thoughts and make them captive to say, you know what? God has told me this is not something good that's going to help me in my life. So I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave. You can't stay here. Third thing is, aim for second place. Now, I know that goes against our society and goes against corporate America. We always want to be first. We're always told the world says you're going to climb the ladder, step on whoever you need to, but end up number one. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others better than yourselves. There was a series of book and a lot of videos some of you may have seen came out called I Am Second. And it was where a lot of athletes came out and they told their story, and what they proclaimed to be was that God was first and they were second in their lives. And I thought it was amazing because they gave glory to God and said, you know, I have these talents and abilities, but I recognize and realize that there's a Lord and Savior who gave me this body, who gave me these talents, gave me these abilities. I may have honed them, may have done these things, but I'm second and God is always going to be first. Think of others before myself. I need to help those around me achieve the goals that they are looking out for. We as a church body should be concerned about one another. And if we can think that, hey, the person sitting next to me is more important. Their goals are important. Their achievements are important. Their family is important. What they're going through is important. So that I will comfort them and help them so that I can put myself second. And I encourage them, I build them up, I comfort them, I speak life and to those people around me. Remember, we've talked about this before. Everybody you meet, you either fill them up, build them up, or you drain them. And I think if we look at being second and coming in second place, then I'm focused and I'm thinking about other people around me and how I can lift them up and fill them up. Number four, to be on guard. 1 Corinthians 16:13. He says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. As Christians, I think we are to be on guard every day. I think that's why we're reminded to put on the full armor of God. I think that's why we're told that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the thing is, we have to be on guard every day. We don't get to take a day off because when we take a day off, that's when the enemy is there to attack us. We need to be aware of where we live. We need to be aware of the enemy, his goals, his lies. It says that when Satan speaks, John 8:44, that he speaks his native tongue, that he lies to us, that he tells us these things are important, when God says, no, those are not the important things. I need you to do these things. So we need to be on guard of what comes about. Remember where we were before we got to our lives with Christ. To remember the things that Satan sold us. To remember the things we bought into. Remember the unrest and the lack of peace and the lack of joy and the lack of all the good things that we now have in Christ. Remember those things and be on guard so that those things don't slip back in. When I was playing football in high school, we had this drill, and I kept thinking about this on being on guard. It was called Bull in the Ring, and I'm sure some of you may have played that before. But basically, you were in the middle, and all the rest of the team was around you. And the coach would call out a number, and they would come at you as hard as they could to hit you. And if you didn't get turned around in time, guess what? You just got laid out from the backside. Now, that might not fly today. I don't know. They may not get by with coaches doing that. But it taught you to be on guard, and it taught you to be alert and to be aware of what was around you. And so as Christians, I think we have to be on guard today and get a makeover every day. Now, I thought about that, and as I put that up there, I thought about you guys, and I thought that might not go over good. So maybe instead of a makeover, men, you could think about an overhaul. Because I know some of you have rebuilt vehicles, whatever. Sometimes we need an overhaul, but we need to get a makeover every day. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And that's what I want us to be aware of the habit is because I think every day we are supposed to be becoming more like Christ, to be forming the image of Him, to carry out those things that He wants us to do. Every day I need to spend time with God. Every day I need to ask God to help me in my weak areas so that I can become stronger. And every day I need to ask God to help me hone those things that I do have some abilities and skills in so that I can be a better help to the body of Christ in those areas. I need to grow in those areas that will build up the kingdom. I need to grow in those areas that would build my brothers and sisters in Christ up. So I need to be renewed or have this makeover so that I can be a useful servant in the kingdom of God. And then to be a God pleaser. 2 Corinthians 5:9. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. I want every day that I wake up to be pleasing to God. I want to make decisions that make Him proud and happy. And again, our life and our walk is not, God doesn't love us on a performance basis. In other words, He doesn't love you more when we get it all right and do everything right. And He doesn't love us less when we mess up. But I think my goal every day as a Christian should get up to be obedient, to make my decisions according to what God would want me to do, and to please Him, and not to have any other gods before Him. Now, when we think about that, and God says, I'm a jealous God, and I don't want any other gods before Him, sometimes we think, like when Curtis had the little statue up here, but gods can be anything that consume our time, anything that takes the majority of our time and takes it away from God, that can become a god in our lives. And to shine His light every day to spread His message. And then when I fail, to go to God and say, I messed up, I'm sorry, and repent and try our best to get back on that path with Him again. And then last one this morning is love. 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything in love. Do everything that we do in love. Pure motives, no hidden agendas, no jealousy. That everything we do, when I look at others as better than myself, that I do it because I love them. And I want to share this passage. I don't know that I can read it all, but most of you know this. 1 Corinthians 13:4-6. This just tells us what that looks like when we're to love. It's patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. Is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always helps. It always perseveres. And I want you to focus on the last part, verse 8. Love never fails. So as I think about thinking on these things and becoming more formed in the image of Christ, I think this is what it's about. The greatest commands, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if we follow God and we walk with Him and we try to do these things daily, then I'm pretty sure that we're not going to fail because He gives that to us in His Word. If you're here this morning, we're going to stand and sing. This week, help us to go out, think good, be what God would want us to do, and show love to everyone we come in contact with.